Delivery. Having prepared your presentation, it's now time to work on your delivery. What's important here? Think about and jot your thoughts down under the following headings: words, voice, and body language. Words. Take a listen to this sentence. Further to the announcement on the 28th of July 2003, I should like to announce that we have reached agreement in principle, subject to certain conditions, on the terms of our financial restructuring with the ad hoc committee of our bondholders, pursuant to which the holders of all outstanding notes and debentures would receive in aggregate 98.5% of the issued shared capital of the restructured company following the restructuring, and the holders of our existing share capital would receive the remaining 1.5% of the issued shared capital. Awful, don't you think? With your research and preparation work complete, your notes and visual aids ready, you still need to give some careful thought to the delivery of your presentation. Choose words that are simple and clear, and that your audience can follow easily. Use everyday language, avoiding jargon and technical terms where possible. Make sentences simple and easy to follow. For example, say "so" instead of "consequently," "help" instead of "assist," "and" instead of "in addition to." Draw verbal pictures if you can. For example, say "a component as tiny as an ant," rather than "a component measuring 2 millimetres squared." Say "the area is the size of a football pitch," rather than "the area is very large." Voice. Words are important, but so are tone of voice and body language. Research has shown that the words alone make only a small contribution at just 7% to the total impact of our communication, whereas the tone, pitch and volume of your voice account for much more at about 38%. How you use your voice has a strong impact on how well your audience will perceive and understand you. It is not an accident that newscasters have excellent vocal abilities. They know that if people speak poorly, people won't listen to them, they are not as likely to believe them, and will possibly make negative judgments about them. You may already speak well, but you can give your presentation skills a big boost by improving your vocal projection, your clarity and fluency, and your expression and voice quality. Vocal projection. You must be heard if your words are to be understood and accepted. If you mumble, you may be perceived as lacking in confidence in yourself or in your work. At the other extreme, your audience will not appreciate you booming at them. The best way to improve the projection of your voice is to improve your posture. Stand up straight and breathe properly. Your lungs are the bellows of the voice. If you are slumped or curled up, you cannot use your lungs to full capacity and your tone and volume will be impaired. Good vocal projection depends on good breathing, deep, frequent and controlled. Here are some suggestions. Talk at a level that ensures you are adequately heard without shouting or straining. If you are talking to a large audience, use a microphone. Stand upright and talk directly to the audience, not to your notes, the floor or the screen. Keep your hands away from your mouth. Talk to the whole audience rather than select a person or area. Remember also to do this when you are answering questions. Increase emphasis on key words. Be careful not to tail off at the ends of sentences. Be sensitive to changes in the environment. If an air conditioner comes on, adjust your volume. If an outside disturbance is very loud, don't try to talk through it. Repeat all questions so the whole audience can hear before answering. Clarity. Authorities on the voice consider lack of clarity and articulation as the most common vocal deficiency among speakers. Your audience will have a hard time understanding you if your diction is sloppy, you speak too quickly or muffle your words. Lack of clarity is often due to lazy lip and tongue movements. Some warm-up exercises before speaking could be helpful here. Exercises loosen the vocal cords and strengthen lip and tongue muscles. Expression. Expressive speakers hold audiences, whereas lifeless, monotone speakers lose them. Communicate your message clearly and with passion. Use variety, timing, emphasis, and tone to add feeling and flavour to your words. Conviction, good material, and an eagerness to communicate will usually enable you to express yourself naturally and effectively. Lack of passion, trepidation, and poor preparation will impede it. Pace is also important. Hurried speech is one of the most common failings in verbal communication. This may be a result of overconfidence or self-consciousness. If you rush your words, no one will absorb what you say. If you are laboriously slow or long-winded, everyone will be bored or asleep before you're finished. Remember to use pauses because they add emphasis to what you have to say. Yet it is surprising how often people fear them. Your audience needs time to reflect and to take in what you say. Even if a pause seems like an eternity to you. So stop being frightened of them. Instead, use them to highlight and emphasise key points, as they will increase audience interest and attention. Practice and constructive feedback will help you get this right. Quality. A rich, pleasant voice is more likely to be listened to than one that is thin or grates on the nerves. Raspy, guttural, whining or nasal voices are often remembered longer than the message itself. You can improve the quality of your voice by exercising your vocal cords, just as you would exercise your muscles for sporting activities. Here are some things that you can do to improve the quality of your voice. Practice speaking aloud using tongue twisters. Speak aloud before you present. For example, say something before you have to stand up. Breathe deeply and slowly. Ensure you have good posture. Speak in a slightly lower toned voice so you don't sound squeaky at the start. Have a glass of water to hand if you suffer from a dry mouth. Seek feedback from others about your voice and make relevant adjustments. You can also use video recording for this. Body language. Try to appear relaxed. Look at the audience, including everyone. Maintain eye contact and smile. Be aware of any mannerisms that you may have. Cultivate those that add emphasis and improve your performance, and discipline those that distract from your message. Watch your audience to see how they are reacting to your talk. Note their posture and facial expressions. Do you need to adapt your delivery by speeding up, slowing down, or sounding more enthusiastic? Consider your facial expressions. Let your face reflect what you are saying. Maintain good eye contact with the whole audience without staring at them or scanning over people's heads. Smile when appropriate. Try to be natural, but think also about your gestures and movements. Be aware of distractions and of over or underusing your hands and gestures. Don't slouch, rather stand upright, using an authoritative stance. Move when appropriate to do so, but be careful of pacing up and down. Control nervous movements, for example, tap dancing, playing with keys in the pocket, twiddling with hair or pens in the hand. Handling nerves. You may get the shakes when asked to stand up to give a presentation for the first time, and this can lead to a loss of control. You may feel like running away. It is a highly personal experience, but don't think you're the only person to experience it. It is extremely common. Professional actors and actresses often get stage fright, although they learn to conceal their nervousness. Symptoms of nervousness include things like increased heart rate, trembling and sweaty palms, butterflies in the stomach, feeling nauseous, dry throat or shaky voice, forgetting what you want to say, blushing and stuttering, awkwardness, becoming tongue-tied, fast gabbling speech, verbal fluffs of or . And fidgeting with spectacles, hair, pens, earlobes, and foot tapping. There are three main reasons why you might typically feel tense or nervous. One is a lack of knowledge about the topic. The second is insufficient preparation. And the third is a lack of confidence because of inexperience in giving presentations. Star presenters are like swans. They float calmly, confidently, and serenely on the water. Underneath, their webbed feet are paddling madly, but this is unseen. Similarly, you can project a serene and relaxed image while experiencing turmoil inside. Remember, you never look as nervous as you may feel inside. In any case, nervousness is a real asset. It is bottled up energy which can bring vitality, enthusiasm, and inspiration to your presentation. Use it positively. Let the energy flow through your body. Welcome it as a power to harness and channel your performance. In fact, the symptoms of nervousness are the same as those of excitement, even being in love. If you tell yourself you are nervous, you'll only reinforce your fear. Think of yourself as being excited. That's why you're short of breath and your knees have gone wobbly. Reframe your experience. View it differently because this will help you to use it to best effect. Use your nervous energy to create positive mental pictures. Imagine yourself outstandingly performing. Visualise yourself looking confident, radiant, engaging with your audience, handling questions well, demonstrating enthusiasm. Picture yourself as a star presenter. Everyone has butterflies. You simply need to get them to fly information. Act like a pro. Pro being practice, relax, and operate positively. Practice by rehearsing, perhaps in front of a mirror, and by seeking constructive and supportive criticism from a respected fellow trainer or friend. Relaxation is not achieved by simply doing nothing. You need to do some positive physical action to achieve a relaxed, tension-free or tension-reduced state. To relax, you need to perhaps do some relaxation exercises, breathe slowly and deeply beforehand and think of an image you find calming, stand tall yet relaxed with the full support of 2 feet. Finally, operate positively. Make sure you introduce yourself positively and avoid putting yourself down. Project a friendly and sincere image and smile. Try to act more confident than you feel. Look at your audience. Speak clearly and don't mumble. Vary the pitch and tone of your voice. Check the rate of speaking. Use pauses positively and don't gabble. Control your gestures and avoid distracting mannerisms. Acknowledge and respond to the reactions of your audience and refer to your notes to keep you on track. And end positively. Dale Carnegie says, "All speakers, no matter how experienced, feel slight nervousness before they start to talk. Nervousness can be an asset. It is bottled up energy. Once a speaker gets into his talk, gets excited and animated, this nervousness releases itself in effective energy." Handling questions. Decide on your question policy and then be sure to tell your audience in the introduction what the policy is. Are you going to allow time for questions at the end of the presentation? Or time for questions at the end of each key point? Or could people interrupt you with questions at any time? If you are going to allow interruptions at any time, you will need to consider how questions will affect the rest of the presentation and be very disciplined with the time. If you are interrupted with a question and know that you will be covering the topic later, you can say that you will address the question later and note it down so that you don't forget it later and leave the person feeling shortchanged. Or you could choose to answer it briefly and cover it in more detail later on. If you have chosen the option of setting aside a question time, recognise that it can sometimes feel uncomfortable when no one asks anything. If this happens, be prepared to wait. Someone will usually say something eventually. You could also restate a provocative or controversial point from your talk. Or you could ask the audience a question or for their views. If you know someone in the audience, you could ask them to start the questions for you. If so, it is best to ask them to do this beforehand. When you get a question, you need to distinguish the genuine, useful question from the distracting, unhelpful one, in terms of keeping control and achieving your objectives. Don't prejudge a questioner or a question. Be polite, be patient, and explore the point. If you do not know the answer to a question, say so and offer to find out. The following formula can be useful to follow because it allows you time to think of the answer as you repeat and check. First, thank the questioner. Repeat the question using the words of the questioner or your own words. Answer the question. Check the questioner is satisfied and thank the questioner again.